Captain's log, stardate 45047.2. The Enterprise is en route to the uninhabited El Adrell system. Its location is near the territory occupied by an enigmatic race known as the Children of Tama.
Apparently, the Tamarians arrived at El Adrell 4 nearly 3 weeks ago. They have been transmitting a subspace signal towards Federation space ever since.
The signal is a standard mathematical progression. It does not carry a specific message.
But they wanted us to know they were there.
Apparently so, number one. Starfleet believes that their presence is an attempted communication. Commander.
Federation vessels have encountered Tamarian ships 7 times over the past 100 years. Each meeting went without incident. However, formal relations were not established because communication was not possible.
Why?
The Children of Tama were called incomprehensible by Captain Silvestri of the Shikamaru. Other accounts were comparable.
A cause for concern. For all we know, they could be threatening our border.
Everything in the previous accounts suggests a peaceable race. We have to start from there.
Agreed. I appreciate your prudence, Mr. Worf. But Starfleet believes that the Tamarians have extended a hand. We must do the same.
The Children of Tama. Heard rumors about them for years.
Indeed, but are they truly incomprehensible? In my experience, communication is a matter of patience, imagination. I would like to believe that these are qualities that we have in sufficient measure.
The Enterprise draws alongside the enormous Tamarian ship.
Rai Antiri Atlunga. Rai of Luwani. Luwani under two moons. Jiri of Umbaya. Umbaya of Crossroads. Atlunga. Lunga, her sky gray.
The bridge crew stare uncomprehendingly at the screen and the Tamarian holds up his hands in despair.
Rai Antiri Atlunga.
Counselor.
I sense nothing but good intentions from them, Captain.
Mr. Data.
The Tamarian seems to be stating the proper names of individuals and locations.
Yes, but what does it all mean?
I am at a loss, sir.
Captain, would you be prepared to consider the creation of a mutual non-aggression pact between our two peoples, possibly leading to a trade agreement and cultural interchange?
Does this sound like a reasonable course of action to you?
The Tamarians stare in utter confusion.
Good air beneath, Momata.
In winter.
He holds up his hand for silence. Picard looks around at his crew's blank faces.
Impressions, number one. It appears they're trying their best, as are we, for what it's worth.
Shaka, when the walls fell. Darmok. Rai and Jiri at Lunga. Shaka, when the walls fell.
Xena at Anzo. Xena and Bakar.
Darmok at Tanagra.
Shaka, Mirab, his sails unfurled.
Darmok.
Mirab.
Tamok.
The aide stands immediately to attention.
The river, Tamok.
The aide looks around nervously and abruptly bows his head and steps back. The leader takes the aide's dagger and his own from a strip on his chest and holds them out.
Darmok and Gilad at Tanagra.
Suddenly, the Tamarian leader and Picard dematerialize.
Block their transport of the shields. Extend to maximum range.
Not enough time.
Where is he?
The Tamarians have transported Captain Picard to the planet's surface along with their own captain.
Regga to O'Brien!
It will not be possible to transport, sir. The Tamarian ship has created a particle scattering field on the planet's ionosphere.
Riker stares at the image of the Tamarian ship on the viewing screen. Picard rematerializes on the planet's surface, surrounded by tall grass and thin bushes. He peers around, searching. Picard turns at the sound as the Tamarian leader steps out from behind the bushes to his right. He holds the daggers in the air, staring at the captain. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Darmok, voiced by Marston York. The Federation starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat planes of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy as a comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light.
Riker to Captain Picard. Do you read me, Captain? Can we compensate?
No, sir. The Temarians are projecting a particle-sustaining beam into the upper atmosphere. The result is a hyper-ionization that virtually disrupts all EM and subspace carriers.
Then they can't communicate with their man either. And they won't be able to beam anyone through the field.
That is correct. However, they have left sensor frequencies clear.
Then they'll be able to tell what's going on.
Analysis, Mr. Worf. What the hell is going on?
A contest, perhaps. Between champions, our captain against theirs.
Theirs was armed.
Darmok and Gillard. You want to fight with me? Is that it? Challenge? Darmok and Gillard.
I don't know who or what Darmok or Gillard are, but I certainly didn't come here to start a war.
Darmok and Gillard at Tanagra.
He throws a dagger to Picard and holds his hand palm out in invitation. Picard picks up the weapon and throws it back, his face creased with confusion.
Sorry, Captain.
Shaka. When the walls fell.
The Temarian bends slowly and picks up the dagger, shaking his head at Picard. He slots the weapon into the strap across his chest and turns away. Picard watches him uneasily, but he slides the second dagger into the strap and continues through the grass, looking back over his shoulder warily.
Sensors show that Captain Picard and the Temarian are in apparent good health, approximately 20 meters from each other.
Hail the Temarian ship.
On screen.
You're holding our captain. I want him released.
Darmok et Tanagra.
Your action could be interpreted as an act of war.
Itil. His eyes closed. Chinza at court. The court of silence. Chinza!
Is there any way to get through to them?
Not without further study.
Close the channel, Mr. Worf.
Gladly, sir.
Worf, I want you to assemble a security team, take a shuttle down to the planet, bring back the captain.
Aye, Commander.
Sir, the Temarians are fully capable of stopping a shuttle.
I'm aware of that. But disrupting our transporter beam and firing on a shuttle are two entirely different things. I'm betting they're not going to push it that far.
The Temarian lies against a fallen log, a fire burning at his feet. He watches Picard with amusement as the captain rubs a stick vigorously between his hands, causing the end to heat with friction and causing the dry grass piled beneath it to catch fire. It does so, but as Picard tries to coax the flames higher, the wind blows the fire out. He throws the stick away angrily.
Shaka, when the walls fell.
Shaka, indeed.
What now, Captain? Will you attack me in my sleep?
I don't freeze to death first.
Darmok of Kanza. Jalad at the Kitao.
Picard of the Federation. Of the Starship Enterprise. Of the planet Earth.
Kadir beneath, Momote.
Picard watches the Temarian flap his arms either in rage or frustration. The Temarian turns away and pulls badges from his tunic. 20 meters away, Picard sits down, huddling into his jacket and drawing his knees up to his chest against the cold. The Temarian sits on a log and cradles the badges in both hands. Looking up into the sky, he drops them and looks down. Scooping them up once more, he repeats the action. Picard watches him coldly, staring enviously at the fire. The Temarian looks down at the badges and taps his forehead with his right hand. Standing and picking them up, he looks up to the sky and then at Picard. Slowly, he walks around his campfire and places one of the badges on a rock on one side. Touching his forehead, he moves round and places the second badge, formed like a jagged X, and again touches his forehead. Looking over at Picard, he moves round and places a third badge on another rock, touching his forehead once more. He stands upright and looks up to the stars before settling on the correct alignment and lying down beside the fire. With his back turned, he removes a knife from the chest strap he has laid on the log and holding it tightly, he lies down, resting his head on his hands and closing his eyes. Picard watches him settle and, growing colder, stands up to keep his circulation going. He paces up and down, trying to keep warm. Hearing the footsteps, the Temarian sits up and looks over at Picard. Tapping his leg with annoyance and indecision, the Temarian suddenly has an idea and struggles to his feet. He takes a log from his fire and throws it to Picard, who stares at him in astonishment.
Temba!
Temba?
What does that mean? Fire? Does Temba mean fire?
Temba. His arms wide.
Temba is a person.
His arms wide because he's holding them apart in generosity, in giving, in taking.
Temba, his arms wide.
Picard steps forward and picks up the burning branch. The Temarian's face creases into a broad smile and he nods at the captain.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Temarian's eyes light up as he smiles, and still nodding as if in amazement, he turns and walks back to his campfire. Picard goes back to his failed attempt at lighting a fire and sets the branch on top, quickly placing more wood on it.
First officer's log, supplemental. I'm sending a shuttlecraft to find Captain Picard, gambling that the Temarians will sit tight rather than risk an exchange of phaser fire.
The positron density is 0.013. Electron concentration, 7.95. Particle gradient, 4 over 7. We are 250 kilometers from the planet's surface.
Commander, the shuttle has reached the E region of the planet's ionosphere.
How long can we maintain communication?
The scattering layer induced by the Temarians is concentrated in the upper D region. The shuttle will reach that area in approximately 2 minutes.
The Temarian ship?
Unchanged, sir. They appear to be making no attempt to stop us.
Maybe we called their bluff. Status, Mr. Worf.
Navigational, life support, propulsion normal. Onboard systems do not appear to be disrupted by the field, but I can barely read you, Commander.
Acknowledged. Maintain
communication as long as conditions permit.
Commander, I am reading a power surge in the Temarian plasma reactor.
Lieutenant Worf, evasive maneuver sequence Delta.
Maneuver sequence Delta.
Veering away, the shuttle is hit by a plasma beam.
Commander, the shuttle has been hit.
Damage?
The starboard nacelle has been rendered inoperable.
That's all? Riker to Worf.
Report.
Starboard thrusters destroyed. I may be able to land, but I will not be able to take off.
Understood. Return to the Enterprise, Mr. Ward.
Aye, sir.
Enough to turn them back, but not enough to hurt them.
Yes, sir. The phaser pulse appears to have been carefully attenuated for just that effect.
Nice shooting.
I'm pretty sure I can punch up the annular confinement beam enough to transport the captain through the field, but it's going to take me at least a full day to do it.
Captain Picard could be dead by then.
I do not believe so. I have confidence in his ability as a warrior. He will be victorious.
You're still assuming this is some kind of challenge ritual. We can't be certain of that.
Agreed. We're only making educated guesses about their motivations. No more than that.
Then why do we wait? If we attack the ship now, they will not be able to maintain their scattering field.
Which might start a shooting match and, for all we know, a war. And we might still not be able to save the captain.
It would end this stalemate.
It's too much of a risk. I'll take that course when it's the last one left. Who the hell are these people? There's got to be some way to get through to them.
As I have said, with further study, it may be possible.
Then do it. Deanna, help him. I want something by 0900 hours.
He looks hard at Troy, who winces under his gaze but nods and joins Data as they leave. The captain wakes in the morning, stretched out alongside his dwindling campfire. Looking around through bleary, sleep-filled eyes, his face is awash with confusion, until, realizing where he is, he slowly stands, forcing his aching limbs to stretch and move. He looks across at the Tamarian's camp, but there is no one there.
Now where have you gone to, my friend?
Picard slowly walks through the long grass between his campfire and the Tamarian's. Keeping a watchful eye out, he steps gingerly into the ring of stones around the campfire, peering through the smoke from the dying embers.
Forgive the intrusion, Captain, but I need some answers.
He kneels down beside the fire and looks at one of the two metallic objects lying on top of a rock. They are the badges from the Tamarian's tunic. Peering intently at it, but lost in confusion, he sets it back down and from his kneeling position looks carefully around. Suddenly, his attention is grabbed by a flat metal pad resting on a fallen log. He quickly picks it up and flicks through the pages, staring intently at what he sees. On the Enterprise, Data studies a recording of the initial communication.
Darmok at Tanagra.
Saka! Mira, his sails unfurled!
Darmok!
Mira!
Freeze. Darmok.
Darmok. Well, it seems to be a point of contention between them. Perhaps something the Tamarian captain proposed that the first officer didn't like.
The apparent emotional dynamic does seem to support that assumption. As with the other terms used by the Tamarian, this appears to be a proper noun. The name clearly carries a meaning for them.
Computer, search for the term Darmok in all linguistic databases for this sector.
Searching. Darmok is the name of a 7th Dynasty emperor on Kanda 4. A mytho-historical hunter on Chantil 3. A colony on Melindi 7. A frozen dessert on Tasna 5.
Stop search. Computer, how many entries are there for Darmok?
47.
All our technology and experience, our universal translator, our years in space, contact with more alien cultures than I can even remember.
I have encountered 1,754 non-human races during my tenure in Starfleet.
And we still can't even say hello to these people.
Correct.
A single word can lead to tragedy. One word misspoken or misunderstood. And that could happen here, Data, if we fail.
Replay at time index 144.
Darmok at Tanagra.
Freeze. Computer, search for the term Tanagra, all databases.
Searching. Tanagra, the ruling family on Gallus 2. A ceremonial drink on Larishi 4. An island continent on Chantil 3.
Stop. Chantil 3. Computer, cross-reference the last entry with the previous search index.
Darmok is the name of a mytho-historical hunter on Chantil 3.
I think we've got something.
Captain's log.
Darmok! Darmok, Angelot, at Tanagra!
I was curious, I'm in Doha.
Saka! Timba! His arms were Timba!
No, enough! I'm not gonna fight you! You will just have...
Darmok and Gillard at Tanagra.
Together, Picard and the Temarian watch warily for signs of movement. Rocks fall from above them.
Timba, his arms wide.
I'll go along with that.
The captain takes the dagger and they stand ready.
Commander, sensors are picking up an electromagnetic disturbance approaching the captain's position.
Analysis?
A variable induction field, possibly a life form.
How close is it to the captain?
The field is erratic, appearing and disappearing, but it appears to be moving toward him.
Attacking?
Riker to LaForge.
LaForge here.
How close are we in that transporter?
2 hours, maybe three.
I want the captain out of there now.
That's not very likely, sir.
I don't want to hear that, Commander.
Leffler, what's the resonance frequency?
0.34 over standard.
I want a resolution of 0.53 at the very least. Commander, I'll need about 2 more minutes, but there's a good chance this isn't going to work.
If it fails...
I know. We will have tipped our hand to the Temarians. But that's a chance we have to take.
Agreed.
LaForge, proceed.
We're on it. LaForge out.
Riker to transporter room 1.
O'Brien here, Commander.
Stand by, Mr. O'Brien.
Walking together, daggers held ready, the Temarian and Picard suddenly turn as a monstrous shape refracts light behind them and disappears.
Mirab, his sails unfurled? Come, Shaka, when the walls fell. Shaka, when the walls fell.
Shaka, you said that before. When I was trying to build a fire, is that a failure? An inability to do something?
Darmok and Gillard
at Tanagra. I remember the words, but I don't understand.
Matrix levels?
Annular convergence, 439.205. Confinement resolution, 0.527.
It isn't going to do it. Increase thermal input coefficient to 150%.
Increasing now.
Thetis, LaForge.
We're almost there, Commander. Leffler, shunt the overload to the phase transition sequencers in transporter 1.
Yes, sir.
LaForge to O'Brien.
Go ahead, Commander.
Confirm phase sequencer linkage.
Link confirmed. Ready whenever you are, sir.
Usani, his army at Lashmir!
At Lashmir? Was it like this at Lashmir? A similar situation to the one we're facing here.
Usani, his army with fist open.
A strategy with fist open? With fist open.
His army with fist closed.
With fist closed. An army with fist open to lure the enemy with fist closed to attack? That's how you communicate, isn't it? By citing example. By metaphor. Ozani's army with fist open.
Sukat! His eyes uncovered!
The creature suddenly appears and Picard stabs at its semi-transparent body, but it hurls him backwards. The Temarian attacks but is thrown down as well. Picard rushes the obscure beast, but it slashes him across the chest, slicing through his clothes. It turns on the Temarian as Picard suddenly dematerializes.
I've got a piece of him, Commander, but that's all.
Boost the confinement beam.
157 over standard.
It's as solid as it'll go, Commander.
The Temarian is hurled around like a rag doll.
The Temarian and the Entity are in close proximity. The Temarian's life signs are fluctuating.
The scattering field is still in full force.
What the hell is wrong with them? Their sensors can read what's going on as well as ours can. Riker to O'Brien, report.
The field's still deflecting the signal. There just isn't enough of them, sir.
Open a channel to the Temarian ship.
Aye, sir.
Your captain is under attack. Drop your particle field.
Kalash! When it rises.
They have closed the channel.
O'Brien to bridge. I can't hold him, Commander.
He materializes as the entity finishes with the Temarian and disappears. He rushes to the injured man.
Shaka. When the walls fell.
The Temarian closes his eyes and nods, and gently Picard lays the captain's head back.
First officer's log, stardate 45048.8. Our attempt to transport Captain Picard back to the ship has failed. My options are narrowing, and my patience is all but gone.
Riker calls a briefing.
Here's the situation on Eladrell. The entity has moved off several hundred meters.
Captain Picard's bioscan readings are stable. The Temarians are not.
He may be injured.
If the entity decides to attack again, the captain may be facing it alone.
Well, the transporter's out of the question. The Temarians have deepened the scattering field to the D region of the ionosphere. There's no getting through.
Unless we attack the ship itself.
Are you able to pinpoint the source of their particle beam?
They're using a polarity coil generator located after their warp drive. It's pretty heavily shielded.
Could we get through with our phasers?
Not with the first spread. It'd take a couple of hits.
That's not good enough. I need to knock out their scattering fields with one shot. Get the captain back on the Enterprise before they know what happened.
If we selectively target the amplification pathways around the generator, it should be just as effective. And we can do it in one burst.
How long would that take to set up?
Worf and I would have to adjust the pre-fire chamber. That'd give us the focus we need. A few hours?
Make it so. I would prefer to find a peaceful solution. If we could talk our way out of this one, that much the better.
Unfortunately, it may not be that simple.
What did you find out?
The Temarian ego structure does not seem to allow what we normally think of as self-identity. Their ability to abstract is highly unusual. They seem to communicate through narrative imagery, a reference to the individuals and places which appear in their mytho-historical accounts.
It's as if I were to say to you, Juliet on her balcony.
An image of romance.
Exactly. Imagery is everything to the Temarians. It embodies their emotional states, their very thought processes. It's how they communicate, and it's how they think.
If we know how they think, shouldn't we be able to get something across to them?
No, sir. The situation is analogous to understanding the grammar of a language, but none of the vocabulary.
If I didn't know who Juliet was, or what she was doing on that balcony, the image alone wouldn't have any meaning.
That's correct. For instance, we know that Darmok was a great hero, a hunter, and that Tanagra was an island. But that's it. Without the details, there's no understanding.
It is necessary for us to learn the narrative from which the Temarians draw their imagery. Given our current relations, that does not appear likely.
Night falls over the planet, and the Temarian lies beside a fire, his eyes closed. Picard stoops down to him.
Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
Our situation was similar to theirs. I understand that. But I need to know more. You must tell me more about Darmok and Jalad. Tell me. You used the words Temba, his arms wide, when you gave me the knife and the fire. Could that mean give?
Temba, his arms wide. Darmok. Give me more about Darmok.
Darmok on the ocean.
Darmok. Darmok. The ocean. Darmok on the ocean. A metaphor for being alone, isolated. Darmok on the ocean. You all right?
He has his children, their faces wet.
Temba, his arms open. Give me more about Darmok on the ocean.
Tanagra on the ocean. Darmok at Tanagra.
At Tanagra. Country? Tanagra on the ocean? An island? Temba, his arms wide.
Jalad on the ocean. Jalad at Tanagra.
Jalad at Tanagra. He went to the same island as Darmok. Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
The beast at Tanagra.
The beast? There was a creature at Tanagra. Darmok and Jalad, the beast of Tanagra. They arrive separately. They struggled together against a common foe, the beast at Tanagra. Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
Darmok and Jalad on the ocean.
They left together. Darmok and Jalad on the ocean.
The ocean. Cinder! His face black as ice. Kalimash at Baha.
Picard watches his companion with growing concern and understanding.
You hoped that something like this would happen, didn't you? You knew there was a dangerous creature on this planet, and you knew from the tale of Darmok that a danger shared might sometimes bring two people together. Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. You and me here at El Adral.
Kira at Bashi. Temba, his arms wide.
I turn. Oh. No, I'm not much of a storyteller. Yeah. Besides, you wouldn't understand. Shaka, when the walls fell. Perhaps that doesn't matter. You want to hear it anyway.
There's a story, a very ancient one, from Earth. I'll try and remember it. Gilgamesh, a king. Gilgamesh, a king, at Uruk. He tormented his subjects. He made them angry. They cried out aloud, "Send us a companion for our king. Spare us from his madness." Enkidu,
A wild man from the forest entered the city. They fought in the temple. They fought in the streets. Gilgamesh defeated Enkidu. They became great friends. Gilgamesh and Enkidu at Uruk.
At Uruk.
The new friends went out into the desert together,
where the great bull of heaven was killing men by the hundreds.
Enkidu caught the bull by the tail. Gilgamesh struck him with his sword.
Gilgamesh.
They were victorious. But Enkidu fell to the ground, struck down by the gods. And Gilgamesh wept bitter tears, saying, "He who was my companion through adventure and hardship is gone forever."
First officer's log, supplemental. Despite the risk of war, I have no choice but to break the stalemate.
Phaser's nearly ready, sir.
Stand by to fire, Mr. Worf.
Commander, the Tamarian's bioscan is becoming unreadable. He may be dead, sir.
If we know that, so do the Tamarians. Riker to LaForge.
LaForge here.
I need those phasers.
Sir, sensors are tracking the entity. It is approaching Captain Picard's position.
Picard lays a dagger on his dead companion's chest and crosses the Temerian's arms over it. He looks quickly up.
I understand your sacrifice, Captain. Unfortunately, if our friend out there has its way, no one will ever know what you tried to do.
He stands as the beast appears and disappears in front of him. Picard steps forward, protecting the Temerian, holding out his dagger.
9 meters and closing. The energy output of the entity has doubled, Commander. 6 meters.
LaForge to bridge. You have phasers.
Fire!
Their particle beam emitters are inoperative, sir.
Scattering field is down, sir.
O'Brien, energize.
The beast lunges, grasping at thin air as Picard dematerializes. He reappears on the transport platform in a fighting stance.
We got him, Commander.
Maximum shields.
Aye, sir.
The Tamarian ship opens fire on the Enterprise's engine nacelles.
Red alert! Starboard shields holding at 52%. Forward shields are gone.
Let's get out of here.
That may not be possible, sir. The starboard nacelle has sustained a direct hit. Warp engines are offline.
Go to impulse. Back us off.
They are matching our maneuvers, sir. And firing.
Return fire, Mr. Worf. Full phasers.
Firing, sir. Their shields are holding. They are firing again. Our shields have failed.
Commander, we cannot survive another hit.
Hail the Tamarian vessel.
Aye, Captain.
Cinder! His face black, his eyes red.
Tamark! The river Tamark! In winter!
Darmak.
And Jalad. At Tanagra. Damak and Jalad on the ocean.
Sokath, his eyes open!
The beast of Tanagra. Uzani, his army.
Shakar, when the walls fell.
The Tamarians close their eyes with sorrow and step back from the screen, bowing their heads in respect for their dead leader. Picard holds up the Tamarian captain's log, balancing it on his fingers, and the new leader nods. The log disappears and rematerializes in his hand.
Picard and Dathan at Eladril. Marab with sails unfurled.
His two aides turn ceremonially to each other, and Picard holds out the dagger.
Temba. His arms open.
Temba. At rest.
Thank you.
Power has been restored, sir.
The Tamarian nods to his crew and the communication ends. Slowly, Picard turns back to his command chair.
New friends, Captain?
Can't say, number one. But at least they're not new enemies.
The Enterprise resumes its course and Picard sits in his ready room reading. Riker enters.
I hope I'm not intruding.
No, of course not, number one. Please.
The damage report's ready for your review. Thank you.
Picard lays down his book and takes the datapad. Riker stares at the open pages with interest.
Greek, sir.
Oh. The Homeric hymns, one of the root metaphors of our own culture.
For the next time we encounter the Tamarians?
More familiarity with our own mythology might help us to relate to theirs. Tamarian was willing to risk all of us, just for the hope of communication, connection. Now the door is open between our peoples. That commitment meant more to him than his own life. Thank you, number one.
Riker nods quizzically and exits. Picard stands for a moment, lost in thought. As his eye falls on the Tamarian dagger resting on the desk, he slowly picks it up, watching the light glint off its jagged surface. He crosses to the tall, thin window behind the desk and gently places his right hand against the blade. He raises his fingers to his forehead in the Tamarian gesture and stares out into the stars. The end.